Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now, let's go into the service for today's message.
There was a woman who, when she came into the presence of Jesus, and she was carrying a hurt deep inside, she was bleeding. She had been to doctors. She carried her pain and her condition for 12 years. And she finally came into the same place where Jesus was. And there was one thing on her mind. She said, if I can just touch him, then everything I need is gonna be met. Every need I have is gonna be met. And I'm so aware that we are in the presence of Jesus. Look, this is not spooky. This is not mystical. He said, where two or three are present, there I am in the midst of them. And I think for many of us, if we came in with a hassle, we came in with a hurt, we came in with an attack against our spirit, we could forget that if we could just stretch out a hand and touch him, every one of our needs would be met. And I know you're carrying a need, and you're probably with someone who has a need. And I want us to reach out. How do we touch Jesus? We touch him in prayer. We touch him with faith. We touch him with our worship. We touch him by giving him our love. Let's do that right now. Father, for every person that needs a touch, Lord, in this moment, Lord, we are carrying burdens and problems and issues and probably came in today, Lord, with all kinds of things upsetting us and weighing us down. But Lord, we don't want to miss your presence in this moment. Because you're our life, Jesus. You're our healing, Lord. You're our forgiveness. You're everything that we need. So we just reach out our hand and touch you, Lord. We thank you for your love. And as we touch you, Lord, we just claim healing and we claim grace, Lord. And we claim forgiveness, Lord, washing and a brand new beginning, Lord. We claim, Lord, your love for our lives, that you would remind us once again that you love us and care for us so much, Lord. Thank you for meeting every need in this room, Lord, calming our hearts, Lord, taking away our fears, Lord, taking away our sickness and disease. Touch us big time. And we remember our families, and we remember our cities, and we remember this world that's in pain, and we ask you to move, Lord, throughout the earth, Lord, touching people and healing them and setting them free as only you can do. We thank you in this moment, Lord, that we're with you. We ask you to bless this time in your word. Speak to us, Lord. Give us exactly the word and the touch that we need in Jesus' name. And everyone that agrees said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you, worship team. Love you guys. Awesome. Be seated. I'm excited for us to be together here on a very special Sunday. This is a different Sunday than most Sundays. This is a Sunday to celebrate the vision that God has given to us. So the focus is going to move from, all the events in the world and everything else, for us just to have a little moment here to just think deeply and even feel what God has called us to accomplish together. What does it mean for us to be a church community? What is a church community? What is our vision? What's our mission? And why does that matter to people like us that are working and raising families and so on and so forth? This is about our shared vision as a church. And I'm excited, if you're listening online, I'm excited for both of our services today. In fact, our Vision Sunday is extending out over all of our campuses today, so that's a wonderful thing. Now, sometimes people hear the word vision and they tune out because vision doesn't seem real. It seems mystical. It seems kind of out there, maybe a little spacey. But I want to let you know that vision is powerful and vision is practical. And it's my prayer today that you would receive vision, not just for the church that you're a part of today, but that you would receive vision for your own life as well. That you'll see yourself fitting into something, that vision that will stabilize you, inspire you, strengthen you, give you energy, give you a reason to keep fighting when you're tired and when you're hassled and you're facing off, and that vision gives you a reason to keep on keeping on. Hallelujah. Some of us, when it comes to defining vision, some of us need to wear glasses. Now that I don't have my glasses on, I can't quite tell which of you are wearing glasses and aren't, But it's a funny thing, you know, when I turned 40, something happened in my eyeballs. And I started wearing, you know, reading glasses, and then over the course of time, it just like, now I'm at the point that if I don't have my glasses on, it's really sad. It's a problem. And but something happens to my vision when I don't have my glasses on, but then when I put them on, it's like, wow, everything gets clear, and the detail is there. And the ability to connect just a little bit better and get the information is better. And I think vision is kind of like a pair of glasses for our heart. Vision is like setting a pair of glasses on our inside, what's on the inside of us, so that we can see what God wants us to see and really move forward. And if there's one thing that I would want all of us to see today on Vision Sunday, it would just be the simple truth that we are a part of a local church community, that this local church is a community where we can live out our vision together. I want you to notice three words. First word is local church. Well, that's two words. Everybody say local church, all right? Boy, that's such an important word. And how about the word community? Everybody say community. I like the word together, so say together. Hallelujah. And we're going to talk about us as a church. We're going to celebrate what it is God what it is that God has given to us to do, and talk through that and what that actually means. Let me begin today just broadly with three vision questions, three vision and purpose questions that might be on people's hearts. Number one, who gives us vision? Where does vision come from? Where does our vision and purpose come from in life? A lot of people are confused about this. They draw their vision from their job. Their purpose is their job, or maybe their purpose is their role as a father or a mother or a teacher or a retiree or whatever it is. And some people feel when they retire, they lose their vision. They've lost their purpose. They don't know quite where that. Where does vision and purpose comes from? All right, now here's what I've learned. There's a lot of confusion about it, but each of us possesses two distinct lives. You sitting there today have two distinct lives. The first life is the life that you are living presently. And the other life that you have access to is the life that you could be living. There's the life that you and I are living now and the life that we could be living. For many of us, the life that we are living can become tiresome. It can become burdensome. We lose track of vision. We lose our purpose. We don't know really what we're fighting for anymore. We don't know why we're working so hard and doing the things that we're doing. Life can, if you're not careful, life can become empty. It can become routine. It's just school and work and getting groceries on the table and maybe a few minutes of Netflix before you fall asleep and do the whole thing, you know, the next day. But there's got to be more. And the life that Jesus offers us, the life that Jesus Christ offers us, I call that the life that we could be living. And I want you to disconnect maybe just a little bit from the life that you are living. Step back from that and think with me about the life that you could be living. Because that's available to you. That's a life that is right there, and it's a life that Jesus wants to give to you. It's a life that's much more meaningful and more powerful than anything that we have ever known. Jesus is the one that gives us purpose. Jesus is the one that gives us vision. And he has more for us than just TV and work and, you know, kids and meals and grocery shopping and going to Costco. He's got a little bit more for us. So think about these verses. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says that we are God's masterpiece. We've been created by God as a masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. God has planned good things for you to do in your life. And he planned it long ago. God wants to give you vision, and he wants to give you purpose. We can only find that vision and that purpose by living through Jesus and connecting with Jesus. Anything less than living for Jesus Christ is a life misspent. It's a life that is empty. Look at what Ephesians 1, verse 11 says. It says that it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. It's in Christ we find out who we are and what we are living for. Part of the overall purpose that he is working out in everything and everyone. God is working a purpose in your life. And he created you for a purpose. And if you surrender your life, the life you have now, and give it to him, and I mean, I'm talking to Christians and non-Christians alike. If you surrender your life and find your purpose afresh in Jesus Christ, you will be living not the life that you are living, but the life that you could be living, the life that he wants to give you. If you're not serving him today, if you've drifted from your purpose in him, and you think that your purpose is raising your family or working for the post office or whatever that is, just step back from that just for a minute and say, there's got to be more, and Jesus will give me more. Can I have an amen this morning? Hallelujah. So Jesus gives us our vision and purpose in life. That's the first question. Second question is, what holds us back from the life that we could be living? Why is it that more of us aren't living like a more amazing life, a more God-purposed life? I ask you, please, not to miss these four things that I share with you today. Because so many people lose their vision and purpose in life, and usually it boils down to one of these four things. So let me give them to you so we can get these things out of our lives. Amen. First one is intimidation. You know, fear will keep you from your purpose. When you're bound by fear, when you're afraid to step out, you just can't seem to do it, then you're kept from the life that could be yours. Don't lose the life that could be yours because of fear. Because Jesus will deliver you from fear. He will break the power of intimidation and fear off of your life. Remember the man that received a talent from the Lord. There's a parable in the 24th or 25th chapter of Matthew where Jesus explained that a man who is going on a long trip gave some of his assets to his servants so that they would occupy and do good things with those things while he was gone. And when he came back, there was a reckoning, and he asked, now, what did you do? What did you get done with what I gave you? I gave you a gift. I gave you an opportunity. What did you do with it? And there was that one guy. Remember him? The man who had received one bag of gold came and he said, Master, I knew that you were a hard man, so I was, what? Afraid, and I went and I hid your gold in the ground. And I'm telling you, this describes so many people in the world today. They're afraid to take a step, to do something toward a life that they could have because they're just so busy protecting what they do have, just that little bit that they do have. And it's gold, and God has given every one of you gold. He has given you treasure. He has given you so many blessings. And he's coming today to say, what are you doing with what I have given you? Don't let your answer be, Lord, I was afraid. I held back. I just sat on it, and I didn't do anything. Intimidation will stop you. The other one that'll stop us is procrastination. We all have like amazing hearts. We all have a desire to see good things happen. But there's a little trick our soul plays on us. Like, well, it's not for today. I do want to do it. I do want to do it, but not right now. I will go on the diet, right? Next week, right? I will write the book. I will take the class. I will read the book, but not this week. I just got so much going on. And believe me, I understand about busyness, and we're all tempted to procrastinate, but procrastination can be a problem. It really stops us from the vision and the purpose that could be ours. Ecclesiastes 11:4 says, farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant, and if they watch every cloud, they never harvest. Everyone say, never plant, never harvest. Now, here's the problem, because think about this. A guy that says, now, there's power in a seed. I mean, if you plant a seed, you're going to have a harvest, right? Everybody knows it. You plant a seed, and there's going to be a harvest. But what if you say, I don't think I'll plant. I'll wait for a better time. This is not the right time to plant. If you don't get your seed in the ground, if you don't do the right thing today, then when it comes time for the harvest, when everybody else is harvesting because they didn't let procrastination stop, they're reaping, they're being blessed, and you're standing there going, God, what did you do to me? And God said, I didn't do anything to you, dude. You didn't get your seed into the ground. So we sometimes procrastinate, and I'm as guilty of this as anyone, but it's something for us to break in our lives. It's something for us to purpose, to change, because a lot of the best things in life are not convenient. But you've got to face them. You've got to do them. And maintaining your home and taking care of your health and making sure the people in your life know that you love them and you're serving them and honoring God and our tithes and offerings and all the good things that are a good intention and a good thing for us to do, we actually have to do that so that we can connect with that vision and connect with that purpose. A lot of people say, someday I'll give. Someday I'll get involved in ministry. Someday. But the someday never comes, and so they never see a harvest in life. Now I want you to think about the life that could be yours. The life that you could be living if you overcame procrastination. The other thing that stops people is immobilization. There's intimidation, there's procrastination, there's immobilization. Sometimes life is so full of pain. There's just so many things that are breaking down, so many things that are going on, and we can't even imagine being a part of a purpose, being a part of a vision. We're too caught up in the drama of what's happening. You have no idea, Pastor. My family and my job, I mean, it's crazy, and my house is falling apart, and my relationships are in trouble, and we get so caught up in the drama and the difficulty, and I'm not playing that down because life is tough. It's filled with hard, hard moments and pain. But sometimes we let that pain drag us to a place that we don't want to be. And we get into the drama. We get almost caught up in drama, and we forget that there's another life that we could be living. And I'm here to say to you that Jesus Christ will break the pain in your life and set you free. Do you remember the man at the pool of Bethesda? He had been there, 38 years? He was bound. He was immobilized by a sickness for 38 years. And every single day, there was an opportunity for him to be healed. The angel would come and trouble the water, but he always had a reason that he couldn't get into the water. And one day, Jesus said to him, he knew that if he got into the water when the angel troubled the water, that he would be healed. And Jesus passed by one day. Here's the Son of God. And Jesus asks him a question. Do you guys remember what the question was? Do you want to be whole? That wasn't a cruel question. It may seem like, Jesus, that's kind of rough. Here the guy is. He's sick. I mean, of course he wants to be well. But there's something that happens to a person that immobilizes them. It's worse than just the pain. It's worse than just the sickness. It's the thing that says, I'm giving up and I can't get forward. There's no way for me to get out of where I am. And the truth is, there is a way for you to get out of where you are. You don't have to be immobilized. Jesus can touch you. And in that moment, Jesus spoke to him and he said, pick up your bed and start walking. And the guy got it. And he overcame that immobilization, paralyzed. He couldn't move. Nothing was happening in his life until he was challenged. And he was set. He was told, look, if you'll take a step, something new will start to happen in your life. So that immobilization, I pray that if your life is slowing down, or even if you say, Pastor David, my life has stopped. I mean, I'm not moving. I can't move. There's nothing I can do. I pray that you'll reach out and hear the Lord say to you, you can be whole. And you will be whole. And you don't have to be immobilized. Something can start moving in your life. And God will do a miracle for you and get you moving in his plan and his purpose. May Jesus set us free as he did this man from that immobilization. And the last piece, I think, is the most important one. And that's isolation. These are the things that keep us from living the life that we could live. Isolation. This is really what I want to emphasize today as we talk about our vision and why it matters, right? In Genesis chapter 2, it says it's not good for a man to be isolated. It's not good for a person to be alone. Isolation is dangerous. It's unhealthy. Sometimes loneliness and isolation can be a demonic thing in a person's life. I can see people everywhere I go, that the enemy has just walled them off from society, walled them off from their family, walled them off from even in their church, a church filled with love and friendship, and they feel, no, I'm alone. Nobody's there for me. That demonic thing of isolation that he wants to do in every one of our lives. And you know, the way the culture is going, it's crazy, because we've never been more connected on a technological level. And we've got the internet, we've got the whole world in our pocket right here on our phone. We can go anywhere, do anything. We can buy underwear right on our telephone and have it delivered the next day. It's unbelievable, right? I mean, we're so connected, and yet we're so isolated on a personal level. And that's something that I think the enemy has tried to build into our culture, and it's a problem. And the reason that people need community is because that's where they thrive. People are not meant to be alone. The worst torture you can give to a person is to put them in solitary confinement. It breaks you down. It causes you to unravel. And so God joins us. He puts us into families. He connects us. He puts us in community. He puts us in the body of Christ. And this is where the church starts to make so much sense. This is where relationship and our mission and our vision becomes so powerful, because we are a community. And that's what brings us to this third piece, this third question about vision, which is, how can we, as a community, live out our purpose and calling? Because it's connected to this word community. I want to talk to you about the local church. Everyone say local church. The local church is the starting point. That's the entry point for the vision of each of our lives that God has called us to live out together. We all need a place to do it. We all need a place to operate in our vision and in our purpose. We don't want to operate in our vision and purpose by ourselves. We need a context. We need a community. We need a place for our gift and our calling and our special ability to make sense. And that's the local church. It's so powerful. Jesus himself said in Matthew 16, verse 18, he said, I will build, one translation says, I'll build my church. Another one says, I will build my community. I will build my ecclesia. That means the assembled, the community, the righteous ones that I am building together. And he says, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Think about Jesus building a community. A network of relationships, a network where no one is isolated. Because I say the word church, and you think, okay, well, he must be talking about the building. He must be talking about everything that happens at 5883 Eden Park Place, San Jose, California, 95138. That's the church. That is not the church. This building is not the church. Those chairs you're sitting on is not the church. This nice foyer and these drums and all these things, all our nice cafe that we're in, you know, that's not the church. The church is the community. It's the people connecting together. And that's what Jesus said, I will build that. Buildings might be a part of it. Drums might be a part of it. Cafes and microphones and chairs, that might be a part of it. But that's not really the thing that Jesus is focused on. He's focused on you. He's focused on the relationships that God has called us to have together. So when I say local church, I'm not talking about a building. I'm talking about a movement of people that Jesus is building and that he gives purpose to, that he himself invests vision to. Now, I'm getting very close to answering this question about vision. Because Jesus said this, watch this, John 17, verse 18, the Message translation. He's praying to the Father, and one thing he says to the Father in John 17 is, Father, in the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I pray for the church, I pray for the community I'm building, I give them a mission in the world. Now, I don't know if that rocks your world like it rocks mine, but don't miss this, because what Jesus is saying is he's ready to go. He's ready to ascend to the Father. He's leaving the planet in his physical body, right? He's sending the Holy Spirit, and he's saying, this mission that I have, to build this supernatural community. I'm giving it a mission. The same mission that you have given me, Father. I'm giving it a purpose. I'm giving it a vision. I'm investing that into the church, the ecclesia, my people, my community. And that vision has got to touch every single one of us. In other words, collectively, we have been commissioned with a mission. We've been given a calling that is so sacred. Jesus said, I'll build the church. It's my whole purpose, and I'm giving the church my mission and my calling. Jesus is giving us his mission to live out in the world. The apple of Christ's eye is the church. And the local church, the expression of that, because it's not just the invisible church, the supernatural, ethereal church. It is a supernatural community, but it finds its fulfillment in the local church, in the actual relationships where we are living together and working together to do the will of God. Does anybody understand what I'm saying so far? Talking about the church. I'm talking about, why are we breathing? Why do we exist? Why do we have chairs and cafes and microphones? And why are we planting campuses? Why? Because Jesus is building something. And he's building community. Somebody said the other day after our beautiful conference, well, sounds like Pastor David's building a denomination. I'm not building anything, first of all. I can't. You have way overestimated my ability if you think I could build a denomination. But what is being built is a community. A community with a mission, a community that has a focus and a purpose, a community that is aware that Jesus has committed something into our hands and we're serious about it. We mean business. We mean business. On this Vision Sunday, as we prepare for the rest of the service, we're going to give, we're going to pray, we're going to have some more music, but I want to just offer us three reasons why I really believe this vision will work for us and how we can live out, I believe, the next season of the vision that God is giving to us. Let me give you three reasons that we can live out this vision that God is giving us together. Number one, our church has unlimited potential. I really believe that. I don't think there's anything we could not do with God helping us and with unity and with the right spirit. I believe we have unbelievable potential. Now, many of you received, or maybe it's on the chair next to you, this Vision Sunday brochure. We've been making these available for the last few weeks. In here is a story of our church. The first panel says you are part of a great story. And you can read about the story of our church and our history, where we've come from, and a few of the things that have happened over the years. But one thing that is remarkable to me as I think back over my 40 years in this church, in this community, how we've come up against challenges, and every single time God has helped us to do incredible things. We have seen lives transformed and lives changed and miracles that have taken place. And the worst times have been turned into the best times because God gives us that potential. And now with four solid campuses, we've become one church in four locations, on our way to a fifth location. We got a strong team of pastors like never before. We have a team of intercessors like never before. We have givers. We have workers. We have more potential in this mission, in this organization, our community, than we've ever had before. And it's breathtaking to me. I watched what God did in our conference two short weeks ago. And I saw something in you that was actually took my breath away. I saw the hunger. I saw the intensity, the fire of your worship and your willingness to be a part of it. And it ministered. And I said, God, we have unbelievable potential. And we could make some decisions right now to move forward as never before. That is amazing. What is our vision? What is the vision of Gateway? You hear it often. Our vision is inspiring, transform lives. That's simple. It's clear. We believe that in our community, in our church, as a result of our effort, that people can be inspired. They can wake up from their sadness and their grief and their sorrow of what's happening, and they can be inspired. If they're a lost person, they can be inspired about Jesus saving them. If they're a Christian, been saved 40 years, and they're facing discouragement, they can come into our atmosphere. They can come into our community, and something starts to rock on the inside. They get inspired, and their life can change. How many of you believe a life can change? I believe it. My life's been changed. And this is what I live for, to see that touch, that moment in a person's life. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about come and do your Sunday school and, you know, do your routines. That's not very inspiring. But when you get, you believe it, like, oh my God, something's changing in my life. And your life has changed, and it happens week after week after week in our church as people give their lives to Christ. And I love 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things, this is miraculous, guys. If anyone is in Christ, he becomes what? A new creation. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. I want to spend the rest of my life seeing that take place in thousands and thousands and thousands of lives. That's what I want to be a part of. That is what I want to be, that a life can change through Jesus Christ. Why do we have a church? Why do we have microphones? Why are we doing all this? Why are we doing campuses? Because we believe that lives can change. And for real, when people hear the gospel and they receive Christ, their life changes and old things really, really, really pass away. And everything really, really, really becomes new. That is the heart and soul of this community. That's why we do what we do. That's why we work and pray and give. I think about people like Pastor Brian Sutherland. Is Pastor Brian in the room right now? I think about Pastor Brian. He was a rock and roll musician living in a warehouse, living with, shacking with Laura, and somehow they got invited to our church. They didn't know the Lord. Brian gave his heart to the Lord. Laura rededicated her heart to the Lord. And Pastor Brian Sutherland today, right, is not only playing for the Lord, but he's a senior associate pastor in our church. He's the pastor of our creative culture. He's touched hundreds and hundreds of people's lives. And it's a story, and he's a business owner and a father and a beautiful husband, a person whose life has been changed. I could give you stories. Mary Kitty, she's not here. She moved away. Mary Kitty, when we were back in Willow Glen at our previous location, Mary Kitty she had just got out of jail. She was having mental oppression. She was having a nervous breakdown. She was driving her car. She was out of money. Her car broke right in front of 1255 Pedro Street. She didn't know the Lord. She came into the church office to use the phone. She was crying. She was upset. She gave her life to Jesus Christ. She got filled with the Holy Spirit, powerfully delivered from unbelievable mental torments and all kinds of problems that Mary had. And then she, in the fullness of time, graduated from Impact School of Ministry right in our church and started a ministry for mentally oppressed people. And I could tell you story after story. Jordan's here, his wife April. She was away from God. She grew up. Her life was her family was like a train wreck. Just total devastation. She gave her life to Christ in a youth crusade and then got away from the Lord. And she was a barista right over here at Starbucks. And she was invited to come to Gateway. She rededicated her life to the Lord. She got into Impact School of Ministry, got into the young adults ministry, got into our discipleship ministry. Her life has changed. She's now standing side by side. She's my daughter-in-law, which is an unbelievable Blessing for her. I mean, imagine that. No. She marries in our church. A few years later, she and Jordan are ordained together. They're our youth pastors today. I could tell you story after story after story. Brothers and sisters, this is real, what God is doing in our church. It's not a story. We're not having nice little services. We're seeing lives change. Can I have a hallelujah? Now, I'm running out of time. If you would like to know what's in my heart, if you'd like to know about the specific details of our vision, okay, what are we trying to do? It's all here in this book. That's why I wrote the book, so I wouldn't have to take 6 hours today to share with you the vision. But very simply, it's all about seeing lives changed. And we believe that the model that God has given for us to do this by planting campuses and looking beyond just our city, we're seeing God do amazing things here in our city, but we're looking at other cities as well. And God has given us a vision for 10 cities, and I'm fired up to see lives not just changed in one city, but in multiple cities, that God will give us the potential to do amazing things. We have amazing potential. Number two, our mission has room for every single one of us to get involved. The reason that I believe in us is because it isn't just up to me. There really is a place for every single person to be involved. This vision, listen to me very carefully, involves you. It's easy to say, well, I don't know, that sounds like a great vision, but I don't know how I could ever be a part. I want to make it really clear and really simple, because vision can seem so mystical, but I want you to walk out of this room saying, I'm a part of this. This is, my life is connected to this vision. I'm a part of this, and there's a place for my gift and my prayers and my life in this thing. There's three things that we, each of us, can do to really connect to our vision. First of all, our prayers. I'm going to ask you to pray for your church and pray for the vision that God is giving us, because the devil is fighting us big time. I mean, the enemy is fighting you. He's fighting me. He's fighting our forward. He's not winning. I didn't say he's winning. I'm just saying there's pushback. We're in a battle. And so all of us can be a part of a great prayer movement to pray for what God has called us to do. That's so important. I'd love to have your prayers for your church, for this local church, for this community, for the people, for the mission that God has given to us. Let's pray. But then there's our skills, because God has given you skills. He's given you a prophetic destiny. He's given you a calling. You have a spiritual gift. There's a bag of gold in you that he's given to you, and you've got it, and it's real. And there are natural skills that you have that you can help in ministry. There are spiritual gifts that you have that you should be exercising in ministry, in our small groups, wherever God leads you to be a part, children's ministry, teen ministry, seniors ministry, teaching, leading, being a part of our usher staff or our sound or our television. There's 100 ways for you to get involved with the gift and the skill that you have. I met a guy the other day named Paul. I call him Paul the electrician because he's a retired electrician. And he made a statement to me. He said he gives 3 days a week going to different ministries doing electrical work. That's what he knows how to do. He goes to Mount Hermon. He goes to churches. He gives 3 days a week. And I said, how do you enjoy that? He said, it is so fun. He said, it's so much more fun to do something for God for free than whatever I got paid in all my years of being an electrician here in the valley. There's something about using your ability for God that makes a big difference. And then there's your giving. Of course, you know, this is a place where you bring your tithe. Tithe is for God's house. It's to strengthen God's house. We know how that works. And then once we've given our tithe, then we're able to even stretch beyond with special offerings. And that brings us to a few minutes of talking about this thing called the Beyond Offering that I want to share with you. As you know, in 2019, by faith, we're launching out in our fifth location. The city of Phoenix, Arizona, is a fast-growing city. People are moving there and they don't have a church. People are there that are lost and without Christ. Pastor Albert and Jenny and the elders and I have been talking and praying and our executive team for months and months and months, and we now have a passion to see this happen. In a moment, I'm going to show you a video. But the next step for us to make this vision come to pass is to receive an offering, the Beyond offering, which will help us go beyond the city of San Jose. Help us go beyond our limitations into this purpose that God has for us. And if you've read the brochure, it's all explained here in the brochure that you have. But there's a section there that explains how the money would be used. We figure we need $103,000 just for the startup costs to get the projectors and the chairs and the, you know, get the website built and get everything set up for that. We need $103,000. And then that first year, we're going to need another $150,000 or $200,000 after that. This is about a $300,000 faith vision. But I want to tell you something. God knows how to take care of us. He knows how to meet our needs. Just day before yesterday, I got a call from Pastor Sam in Clovis. That's another one of the cities we're in. We're one church in four locations. He got connected to a Walmart heir that has a trust fund and a foundation. And he loves what we're doing in Clovis. We need a building in Clovis. Right now, they set up and tear down in Clovis, and they're in a rented spot. It's a nice place, but it's not a permanent place. We need a building of our own. We don't have the money. This guy made a pledge to the Clovis campus, this Walmart heir, of $200,000. He said, come to my office this week. A check will be waiting for you. Now look, the whole income for the whole church for a year is $200,000. With one stroke of the pen, this guy says, come and get the money, and there's more where that came from. How many of you know? Come on. I think it's like this. If we take the step and say, Lord, I believe you, God says, I'll meet you right there. I'll take care of it. There's going to be some big gifts given. There's going to be some small gifts given, but small gifts can be very powerful. As we focus on what is God saying to us? What is the Lord asking us to do? I want to show you this video because I want you to see a little bit more about the vision of our campus in Phoenix. A word kept popping into my thought life, occurring, and the word was Decapolis. And the definition of Decapolis is 10 cities. So Jesus said, when you are faithful, I will give you 10 cities. Decapolis is a place of huge spiritual need. And it's a place where miracles take place, where Jesus touches the brokenness and the pain of people's lives. We have to pray and really seek the face of the Lord. But one thing I know, that God is talking to us, not about a city. He's talking to us about cities.
Started like years and years ago when we first, you know, gave our life to Christ. And from like the moment we turned to God, we like knew that that was our life. We weren't gonna look back. And even from the very beginning, like people would pray for us and they would tell us just all these different things about what they seen in us. And a lot of times it'd be prophecies about us, you know, planting a campus or a church, and we were like, no way, like, it's never gonna happen. We didn't really believe it, but it always kind of just stood there, you know, like, it was always kind of on the back burner, and well, maybe one day, you know, it wasn't like a hope, but it was always there. Like, I think God kept it there as a seed. You know, years later, as we're at Gateway and we're serving there, when, you know, for years, Pastor David got a vision from God about 10 cities, and when he shared it with the congregation and with us, something in us kind of just like came alive again. I think that back burner thing like came, you know, to the forefront.
I think there's something about our background, our experience, our heart, and just our upbringing here in the Bay Area, and the people that we love, and meeting those people in Arizona, that's the draw. Now, I believe there's possibly somebody sitting in a coffee shop that's maybe young, he's hopeless, he's clueless, maybe he's contemplating life. And maybe there's a teen mom that feels like they can't make it. And our background, our life, our heart for these people, I believe if our intersections collide, and I think we can bring a message of hope that God can deliver them, God can help them, that God can set them free.
We know that God is, you know, calling Gateway to expand and to reach beyond San Jose, and he's already doing that, you know, in Clovis and Santa Rosa and in Modesto. And when we went to, when we visited Arizona, even just like last year, you know, most recently, we felt like God was saying, this is a city, you know, that I have people that are in need, spiritual need, people that are lost, that really need to find healing and freedom. And not just that, but really discipleship and growing in the word and growing in faith and learning what it means to live free and not to continue to, you know, be in the same cycles of destruction. And I think, again, because we came from that, we have such a heart to see people like free, to see people experience what it really means to live a life that God intended for them.
We hope to see a thriving local church where people can come and be a part of a transformed life. And a transformed life is someone that's choosing to better themselves by following Christ, being a disciple of Christ, and as they are transformed, they are helping others transform.
We're honored that Jesus would choose us, you know, that God would say, I'm choosing you two to share my love and my truth to people of all different backgrounds, all different nationalities, all different ages, that he would allow us to just be a voice for him. That's amazing.
Hallelujah. This is what we see. This is what we see, and in a very real way, Albert and Jenny are a seed themselves. You know, we're talking about sowing a seed in this beyond offering. Albert and Jenny themselves are a seed that we're planting because we see that there's going to be a harvest, and our family is expanding. Why would we want to give? Well, we want to give to connect to this vision because we believe in the vision, but there's also a little selfish reason why we give, I'll be honest. I like to sow seeds because God promises that he'll bless us. I like to be blessed. And one of the ways that the Lord has shown us to be blessed is to give. He said, give, and you will receive. Luke 6:38, you will receive. So not only can you connect to a vision, but you can receive back yourself. 2 Corinthians 9 says, a farmer who plants only a few seeds is going to get a little tiny harvest, but of one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Now, we don't mug people for giving. We don't beat you up and guilt you out. But we do give you an opportunity to give, and you're going to have an opportunity beginning today and for the next several weeks to be a part of something we're calling the Beyond Offering. And I'd like to draw your attention to this card because this is important. All of you, I believe, have seen this piece of literature right here. If you want to understand what we're doing, please grab that. But this one here is the tool that you're going to use to give whenever you're ready to give. It could be today, or it could be next week, or the week after. I want you to pray about it, but then when it comes time for you to give, I want you to use this card. And on this card, there's not just a place for you to fill in the information and a place for you to indicate what you're giving. That would be important. But also your prayer requests. Because We believe that giving is sacred, and we want to connect with you and involve God in the gift, and you can actually assign a purpose to your seed. I've committed, Kathy and I have committed, we talked and prayed, and we came up with our amount, and it's an amount that we want to give, but we need some time to give it. It's going to take us 6 months of regular giving to get up to this amount, but we're going to do that. We're actually using the PushPay app. You can do repeat giving on that. However you want to give, we wanted to give an amount that we didn't just have right on hand, but we knew we would have over the next few months. But we wrote on here our prayer requests, and there's some personal things, and I want to invite you to do the same thing, to just write on there where it says my prayer request. You can put 10 things or one thing, and let's really pray over our gifts, because assigning a purpose to our seed is a powerful thing that I believe God will bless. Let me just say this in conclusion. We're running just a few minutes late, but how many of you guys are okay? Everybody okay? All right. This is a special day. It's an important thing that brings us together, and I want to get this right. So let me make sure I can say everything that I can. The last reason that I believe our purpose can be lived out, that Kathy and I are willing to give our lives. We've given the last 40 years of our life to the church, and hundreds of you guys are giving your lives to this mission. I appreciate it so much. The reason why I think it can work, and the reason why I think we should do that, is because Jesus is worthy. How many agree that he's worthy of this? Whatever we could give, I mean, is there something that we could give that we would say, oh, that's too much for the Lord? That's too much for God. He's listen, whatever we would give, our lives, everything, he would be worthy of that. And there's a story that I'll close with. In 1732, John Leonard Dober, who was a simple potter, and David Nitschmann, he was a carpenter, 1732, became the first Moravian missionaries. Many of you have heard about the famous Moravian prayer meeting that was 24 hours a day for years and years and years. It was a great world missions movement that began with these two lives. They sold themselves into slavery in 1732. Because there was a slave owner in the West Indies who was raising sugarcane in that blistering sun. He needed slaves. He had 3,000 slaves, and he was a notorious sinner. And he was so determined that his 3,000 slaves would never hear the gospel. They would never hear a message that would help them live not the life they were living, but help them live a life that they could be living. He said, they'll never hear that message. And he was notorious. And so these two, a potter and a carpenter, said, that's it. The only way we can reach these 3,000 slaves is to become one of them. So they sold themselves into slavery so that they could live the rest of their lives laboring in that hot sun beside these 3,000 slaves and give them the gospel and tell them the story, not of the life that they were living, but of the life that they could be living. They sold themselves into slavery. So they're on the ship, and the ship is pulling out. The tide is going out, and their community is there. Their family is there. Their local church members are there, and they're weeping, and they're crying, and they're on the ship, and the ship is sailing off. And the question of the hour is, why would you do this? Is this really necessary? Do we really have to do this kind of thing to reach people? Why are you doing it? And they held their hands together, these two guys selling themselves into slavery. And they lifted up a shout. They shouted to their friends and their family members. And they said, here's our reason. May the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his sacrifice. That the lamb that was slain, Jesus Christ, would receive the reward of his suffering. That's why we're doing it. You say, why are we doing what we're doing? I say, because Jesus is worthy. I'm going to ask you guys to step with me into a moment of giving. We're going to bring our tithes and offerings to the Lord. And also, if you're ready to give your If you're ready to turn your seed card in, you've been praying. We've been talking about this for weeks now. If you're not ready, that's fine. We'll give you more opportunities over the next few weeks to give. But those of you that are ready, you've filled out your card, put on your prayer requests, and let us know how we can agree with you. I want you to do something now. Just pray. We're going to pray over our tithes and our seed. And we're going to believe that God is going to meet the need of the Phoenix plant and also of your needs. Will you join me in prayer? Let's bow our heads. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this time to be together. Lord, I'd love to see your heart's desire come to pass, that we would live not just the life that we're living, but the life that we could be living. Through our faith and through our prayers and through our generosity, we connect to your purpose, Lord. Be a part of something great. I pray that you will bless the gifts that are being given today. I pray, Lord, that you will provide everything that's needed for this fifth campus to reach souls in a new city, Lord. Lord, we ask you to do a miracle and touch every family that's involved, Lord. Touch every need, Lord. Do something great in our lives, Lord. Break the isolation. Break the intimidation. Break the procrastination. Break it, Lord. Deliver us and bring us right into the life that you died to give us. Thank you, Lord. You are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. The ushers are going to come and wait on you. This card will fit inside the envelope. You can use the regular envelope to give and put your pledge card in there if you like. And we're going to be praying over your prayer needs. And I think in the weeks to come, we'll have some special prayer for your needs, your cards. We're going to believe together through this season of giving, God's going to do miracles. Let's worship and let's give together.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are worthy. You are worthy. Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. The Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up. And all the world will praise your great name.
Yes, Lord.
Sing that again, Jesus.
Remember that day? Boy, I remember how broken I was. I remember how empty and alone I was. And he really changed my life. And if you need prayer today, you could see some of my friends on the prayer team here. If you want your life to change, you feel free to come and join us here and we'll pray with you and ask God to heal you, touch you, save you, do a miracle in your life. We really do care about you. And there really is hope. We're a part of something great, guys. And I think we should keep fighting. I think we should keep preaching. I think we should keep going for the Lord. How many agree? I want to thank you. I want to thank you for standing standing with your church, receiving the vision. Let's run with the vision. Let's pray for the vision. Let's give. Let's support the vision. And together we're going to do great things. Amen. Would you just lift your hands and let me bless you? Father, in Jesus' name, I speak a blessing on your people. We've touched you. We've heard your word. We've connected with vision. Now, Lord, fill us with the anointing of the Holy Spirit to fulfill our purpose, Lord, in life. Every gift, every calling, the bag of gold that's on the inside of every one of us, Lord, activate it, Lord, and release us into a broken world. We can preach the gospel and see lives transformed through Jesus in his name and for his glory. And everyone said, amen. God bless you, everybody. Thank you. I love you. You can be dismissed.